in a print like this?
Yeah, I would just say the same thing. Just submit. I feel like that's definitely like not an easy thing for me to decide like what I wanted to put in here, but I feel like sharing your work is always like this is a judgment-free space, and we love to read everyone's poems and see everyone's art, and it's just really cool.
I can tell you've made it really welcoming and easy. My other question, and I know you're getting asked this a lot probably, but you're going into your senior year. Do either of you have any thoughts about what you might do after graduating?
I think we're both looking at colleges. Where exactly, I'm not sure, but I think for me, I definitely want to continue working on some sort of like literary publication in college. I find it very rewarding, and I think it's something very important to me, so that's something I want to continue to do after high school.
That's Quincy Sauter. What about Martha Pittard?
Yeah, I'm also not exactly sure what I want to do for college or what I want to study, but I definitely want to keep creating art and getting involved with things like this.
Yeah, and you don't need me to say this to you, but I think you don't necessarily have to have it all figured out. Even when you're in college, you don't have to have it all figured out. Thank you both for being here. I know it's a busy time, especially, just personally for each of you, given what I'm aware of that you're doing, but also on a Saturday morning. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A great program. Again, look for the Gold Rush zine at the bookstore, Stay Gold Books, on Braddock, I'm guessing Braddock Avenue.
Yes,
in Regent Square. And take a look at the online version. It's exciting. I know with your getting support from the Wittigs, it's got to be a great piece of work, too. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRTP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ-FM, Grove City, WCUC-FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW-LP, Kaiser, West Virginia Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio. Live music with the Snappin' Bug String Band coming up in our 11 o'clock hour.
Well, I got stuff to do today, people to see and things to say. You know, I got to get my way, cause I got stuff to do today. There's business dancing in my brain. Some make sense, some are insane. The latter gives me much less pain than business dancing in my brain. Well, you know I'm the CEO, all that business in my head. A puppet master pulling strings while I'm lying here in bed. There's a conference room above my neck. I could be wrong, but what the heck? It's my turn here to stack the deck on the table here. But my dad, well, don't you know I'm the CEO of all this business in my head. Puppet master pulling strings while I'm lying here in bed. away to the funny farm, I'm gonna stay. A zippity doo da zippity where the walls will all be painted gray. Well, don't you know I'm the CEO of all this business in my head? Puppet master pulling strings while I'm lying here in bed.
There you've got Jorma Kaukonen at the Saturday Light Brigade. And I think we may be ready. Normally I would take a little... Yes, I got a big thumbs up and the band can hear me and I'm glad they can. It's such a pleasure to be able to welcome the group. We'll talk a little bit more about their amazing work, what they do, why they do it, and you're going to have a chance to hear some great music. We have Mark Tampsola and Richard Withers, Barbara Rossner, and Dave Christie all together, known as the Snappin' Bug String Band.
Okay, here's a tune from Jefferson County fiddler named Walter Wilbur Neal of the Saratoga Hornpipe.
Got the Snappin' Bug String Band, and it's great to have everybody back. I always want to go to Barbara first because she always looks so happy. I was watching you from in there. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, you know, we wanted to share with you that my good friend Helen James from Lincolnshire in the UK had shared Saratoga Hornpipe and that CD with Ellie Prince, who has a radio show. It's the RINB, the Royal National Institute for the Blind's Connect radio station. And he has a roots and folklore program, and he actually featured that tune last May on the radio in the UK. So here we are featuring it with you today. We're real happy to be here.
That's exciting. And now you've been heard across the pond, as they say. And I was just saying last night how they really know what they're doing over there in terms of radio. I'm actually the BBC and CBC. I really like what they're able to do. So that's exciting, and it's good to see you. Let's meet the whole rest of the band, and we'll just go all the way around and introduce you to Richard. How have things been?
Good, thanks. Good to see you again. I'm Richard Withers, and we're delighted to be here.
Richard's got a couple band shows. Tell me about the one you're playing now, and I should have said Barbara was playing bass.
Well, it's a regular five-string banjo. It was made by a fellow named Kevin Enoch. It's been my favorite banjo for a number of years now.
It's beautiful. By the way, too, the band is going to be, I'm so happy about this, we have our solar concert series kicking off that we've sponsored for a number of years with the Children's Museum and Nova Place. And they, Snap and the Bug, are going to be the first band playing this year. It'll be July 10th at 12:15. That's a Thursday, July 10th. I'll MC that show. It'll be at Buell Community Park, which is just across from the Children's Museum. It's free, and it looks like you're going to be at Forest Hills Community Day, too, coming up July 4th at 11 o'clock. That always draws a huge crowd. Forest Hills Park is right on the Ardmore, right? From having grown up there. Let's meet our fiddler, who is here next, Mark.
Hi, Larry. It's good to see you. Thanks for having us back. We're having fun, as always, playing whenever we can, and looking forward to the show over there at Buell Park.
So I looked at your shirt from the back, and now I'm looking at it from the front, and I never got it until now. So the front is Jay Goff's Tavern, and then the back is the definition of what the Pittsburgh term Jagoff is, and I never really thought about that. I like it.
Going on, Jay Goff's will be doing some fun. What do they call it? Down at McGee Field.
Special kids. They sponsor some, I think, community fundraising event, really big down at McGee Field. And the Jay Goff's folks are real good friends to both Irish and old time and songwriting. Musicians, so they are really a good friend to Pittsburgh musicians, and we support them a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't. They do a lot in the Irish band community, too. But I now have made the connection, the pun, as it were. And then finally,
how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you, Dave. Dave Christie is here, and I'm always tickled when I get a chance to see you. Round out this great quartet so well. You guys have been pretty, it's been pretty much the lineup for a while now, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they keep trying to trade me around, but then the other teams give me back. So my value is decreased. And then the new pitcher came in, and boy, he just took off for the Pirates. So
except we can't get him any runs whatsoever. You know, that's the issue.
Yeah, hitting. So it's because we're used to playing in the lunar events, but now that you got us playing in the solar event, and I've been trying to get more of a tan to be able to take all the ultraviolet rays that we're going to take at that concert. We're really looking forward to that.
Those are the Tampa Bay Rays, not the Ultra Violet Rays. The Ultraviolet Loop is, if you remember that. Yeah, the Solar League should be good. I don't know if the Pirates won yesterday or not. They were playing the Mets. And a friend of mine from Long Island drives in to see the Mets when he can. And he came in yesterday just for that purpose. I hope, well, I don't know what I hope. I shouldn't, I'll have to check to see whether they won or not. But this is not a sports program. It's music, among other things. Richard, I'll turn to you because you're closest. What are you guys going to do next?
We're going to play a tune called Uncle Ed. And it actually comes from where I'm from, originally York County. There was a fellow named Bill Geip who Tracy Schwartz had collected some tunes in that area, and this is one of his. And then we're going to go into another tune called Up Jump Joe in the middle of it.
Once again, and I hope you enjoyed them. It's great to hear these songs as they were played, they were collected very lovingly and appropriately to continue them so that they live on. Here is the Snappin' Bug Band. Snappin' Bug String Band. You can go to their website, by the way, at Snappin' Bug. You're only allowed to use one G, the one at the end of bug. Snappin' just ends in N. And the Pirates won 9-1 yesterday, so that's amazing. Yeah. So they, my poor friend who came to see the Mets, I think that's twice in a row that he didn't get to see a victory. So good for them. Dave, you might be caught up. You never know. Or maybe there's always the Savannah Bananas for you. I could see you playing for that team. The website looks great. I was just visiting it as you were playing that song. And There's a number of albums that you can get, and I think they're really important, the physical artifacts that you've put together, and some of them are from the Baird series. Can you talk a little bit about the albums? And I mean, they've been, really been a labor of love, I'm sure, but when I talk about their importance, and you know, Dave Christie put together a Folk Songs of Southwestern Pennsylvania album about probably 30 years ago, and I have it. It's a cassette. It's blue. Remember that? Bright blue. And it's really important to me because you captured some songs that I don't think are available anywhere else.
Right. Sam Byard did a collection process starting all the way back in 1928. And he began visiting fiddlers in the area. This was his summer vacation hobby. He was an English professor at State College, but in the summertime, he'd hitchhike, get a ride with the milkman or somebody like that, look for local fiddlers down around Greene County, and collected over the years. He did this for like 35 years and visited over 100 different fiddlers right around here. Collected over 1,000 tunes and eventually published them in 2 books. And the players are long gone. Not too many people actively have maintained these tunes. So we're sort of resurrecting a lot of them and finding there's some interesting stuff that was played here in Pennsylvania and didn't get circulated around the rest of Appalachia, but it's still, you know, we're right here in the middle of Appalachia. This is the region for the music. But thanks to Byard, we have that. And Richard and I started over 12 years ago. Doing the first album was up in the Batten House. So we got 6 CDs we put together so far.
Yeah, and it's important because just as he collected these songs and made them available to others, you're helping to extend into the next generation of music. I think about when he was doing it, it's not like there was an internet or even mainstream media. You know, he probably had to go from door to door, or maybe he'd go into a drugstore and say, "Who plays the fiddle around here?" Do you think it was something like that?
It was, yeah. He might have even just, you know, looked at people walking down the street and thought, you know, this might be somebody I should ask. They just look like they might be a fiddler.
He actually started hitchhiking at the earliest part of this. He had family in this area. He was a folklorist and had studied folklore. He wanted to go to England and Ireland to collect tunes, but he found out that there's all this rich musical tradition right here in southwestern Pennsylvania. And he was starting at a time when the roads weren't good and there was no recording equipment. So he hitchhiked around and he would just kind of ask people who knew people. And it's a fascinating story. But we're very grateful to him for collecting this music that otherwise wouldn't have been saved.
You're hearing the Snappin' Bug String Band here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Dave, I just want to turn to you to see if you had anything you wanted to add, because you've been collecting this music for a long time, too.
No, other than the big driving thing that Sam Baird, what hit him was a lot of the gentlemen living in the community from the Civil War who were musicians, you know, that was like a big jam session that people would trade tunes, and they would hear tunes from their neighbors and say, "Oh, my grandpap used to play that tune too," but it would all be a little bit different. Everybody had differences in their playing, and now with radio and tapes and CDs, some of it has become homogenized. So when you're playing these tunes, you have to change them around a little bit. And the old fiddlers would change them around. Sometimes they wouldn't realize that they were changing it. They would say, oh, I'm playing this exactly like my grandpap used to play it. But you don't realize. You go through your life, you hear other fiddlers, and all of a sudden you start to play a tune a little bit differently because you remember your Uncle Ned used to play that tune also, and he would put in different notes. But the variety of the ways of playing is very productive. You don't have to play this music perfectly, and that's why when I play, I always like to put a few mistakes in there. If you hear like mistakes coming out of the Snapping Bug Band, it's usually me, because I'm just trying to be authentic, and I want to motivate other fiddlers, young fiddlers, to say, oh, I could do play it better than he can play, and so it helps to motivate people, and that's
yeah. All these rationalizations are a good thing, at least one a day, if not more. Snapping Bug Band is here. What are you guys going to do next?
We've got a couple of tunes as a medley. We're going to start with a tune called The Blackbird and then go into a tune called Jimmy King. But I got a story to go with The Blackbird. Kind of explains it somewhat. So this is going to be a...
Please, let me see if we can get your mic on. As you tell it, I think we can do that.
Okay. All right. This is a story about a father and a son, a song, and a gun. Over 250 years ago, there was a popular song known as The Blackbird. The title was a secret reference to Prince Charles Stuart of Scotland, who was known as the young pretender to the throne of England. This refers to the mid-1700s when Hanover family replaced the Stuart line, but Prince Charles maintained he was still the rightful heir. The Blackbird song was in effect a show of support for Prince Charles, and as a result, singing it or whistling the tune was regarded as an act of rebellion against the crown. Skip forward to the year 1822. There was a young man named Henry Crawford who lived in Washington, Pennsylvania. Henry enjoyed singing and whistling the Blackbird all the time. It had been only 10 years since the War of 1812, and by singing it, you were insulting England, which felt like something a patriotic American would do. But perhaps an even bigger reason why he liked to sing it so much was because it made Henry's father, William, very, very angry. William Crawford had been a British soldier during the War of 1812, and he still had a strong sense of loyalty to England. He even referred to himself as Old Britannia. So whenever Henry would sing or whistle the Blackbird, William would warn him to stop it or he'd be sorry. Henry continued, and eventually William threatened to kill him by shooting him. Which brings us to the morning of July 30th, 1822. Old man Crawford held a gathering at his farm known as a manure hauling frolic. Oftentimes the man's neighbors would all join in to help him with some tasks around the farm, like harvesting, plowing, in this case, spreading manure. William invited the men into his house for a drink of whiskey, and he told them that his son Henry had come to torment him with that song again, and that he would kill him before night if he didn't go away. Some of the men went to the barn and warned Henry what his father told them, but Henry just replied that he didn't think Old Britannia would shoot. The men didn't know this, but Henry had secretly broken his father's gun, and he thought he was safe. What Henry didn't know was that his father had already had the gun repaired. That evening, Henry was sitting on a log near the door singing the Blackbird. His father went into the house and got the gun from the fireplace mantel. Just as Henry started the second verse, William did just as he said he would and shot and killed his son. Henry Crawford was 28 years old. Going to play for you a Pennsylvania version of the Blackbird from a Dunbar fiddler named Emery Martin. Thank you.
that was just incredible and delightful, despite the story, the sad story.
I wasn't playing it. I didn't want to get involved in the confrontation. Play that tune.
It was really, you make it, Mark and Richard, as the two of you are playing that, and it also just makes me wonder, people in the hills playing like that. I mean, some pretty intricate clawhammer and fiddle patterns. It must have just been fascinating as Baird walked through and discovered these things, because I would imagine a lot of the methodologies were different because people were probably self-taught. And even if they were taught by other people, the methods probably, I guess there's still some truth to it today, but I've got to believe there was far more variability as he was collecting these songs. I see Richard nodding his head.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. They were also a little confused about what he was doing, because this was just so much part of life for them that they kind of wondered, well, why would somebody want to come and collect these things? Not really seeing that this was something that was, a really dying out in this area. But they were very, once they understood what he was doing, they were really very happy to do that and very glad he was collecting them.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right. It's like, hey, I'm cutting my grass. Why would somebody want to take all sorts of pictures of me cutting my grass or tending my garden? What's the big deal? Everybody does this, and people must have felt that way about music.
I think in terms of these two tunes, which I have always found when I started listening to what these guys were doing as maybe two of the most evocative, is that Richard and Mark and Dave have put their own spin on things that they've found in the Baird collections. And this one, I'm not even sure if it was originally in B-flat. But yeah, so the tuning that they're doing isn't really a standard old-time tuning, but it makes it, I think it matched up with one of Richard's banjos when they recorded it, but it makes it even more evocative. And I think what these guys brought to the table is they brought into the modern age a real traditional thing with a current spin, which I really respect.
Yeah, it was really captivating to listen to it, and not just because Dave wasn't part of it. I think you would have brought lots of your own to it. This is the Snappin' Bug String Band. You can learn more at snappinbug.com. And hello to Larry and Vanessa are in Elwood City, and they wrote to mention how much they're enjoying hearing you and how they wouldn't miss you for the world. July 4th, the band will be at the 4th of July Community Day at Forest Hills Park, which is on Ardmore Boulevard, easy to get to, and it's 11 o'clock. And then on July 10th, they are going to open up our solar concert series at 12:15 at Buell Community Park. That's a Thursday. It's free. We'd love to see you there. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio. Thank you for doing that. What's next?
A couple more tunes. This first one's from Walter Ireland of Greene County. It's called the Camptown Hornpipe. And the second one's from Marion Yoders, also Greene County, Sally Goodwin.
Snapping Bug String Band, and I immediately want to ask Mark a question, and you might be wondering the same thing. You heard Sally Goodwin. He meant to say that. And also Camp Town, it wasn't really... Yeah, tell me about the variations in Goodwin and Hornpipe. I don't know if that's related to races, you know, the Camp Town races or not. I doubt it. But Sally Goodwin has to be a variation, right?
You know, the name's familiar, a familiar tune, Sally Gooden, right? But they're different tunes. This is... This reminds me of a totally different tune. Yeah. Like Cripple Creek, I think, comes to mind. So I can't really say much more.
So it could be just that these names were commonly used.
Camptown was here where we are right now. That used to be the part of Pittsburgh Camptown races that Stephen Foster wrote about was Allegheny, I believe.
I didn't know that. So, okay, I had no idea. So you may know, as you're listening now, that Pittsburgh used to be Twin Cities, the city of Allegheny, now known as the North Side, and the city of Pittsburgh. The two cities merged a little over 100 years ago. So there was a camp town that was part of the North Side. I never knew that.
Yeah, I think we're in one of the horse stalls where it used to be right now.
I believe that would explain a lot, actually. So interesting. Again, not to overstate it, but snappinbug.com is the website, and I think you've got a couple books that are there, as well as the albums. Any books or just the albums?
Well, I have... I mentioned the books that Sam Byard published, Dance to the Fiddle, March to the Fife, and Hill Country Tunes were the two publications. Hill Country Tunes came out first in the 1940s, and you can find a version of that as a PDF file and download it, because there's less than 100 tunes in that one. Dance to the Fiddle, March to the Fife is out of print, and you know, used copies, they're expensive. On yeah.
It's just important if you're a scholar, if you're a teacher, or if you just enjoy this music and want to honor it, keep it as part of your life, it's a good opportunity to do it. While we have a minute, also, good morning to Mick in St. Clair, who wrote to indicate how much he's enjoying you. It occurred to me that people listening might be thinking, I wonder if these guys could play at my wedding or party or event. I wonder if a square dance could be possible with the addition of a collar. Are you guys, Barbara's nodding her head. I'll let her be the spokesperson.
Well, definitely we do play all of those types of events, and I think there is contact information for Mark on that snappinbug.com website. Or actually through Calliope School, where Mark has been teaching for many years. People have gone to him through Calliope, but there's a direct line in, and we'd love to play anyone's events. Any of those sound great.
Yeah, so think about that if you're looking for somebody. It would really make your event very different. And I forgot that Mark is teaching, and there's an opportunity for you to learn directly from a master.
I'm available. Private lessons. Calliope does group classes. I just finished the week workshop I did with the North Allegheny Fiddlers, and I know every time I see you, your eyes light up, and we're gonna have to get them in here one of these days.
Absolutely, it'd be fantastic to get North Allegheny School District's fiddlers. How many did you have in that group, roughly?
25.
Wow.
About half of them. This was their first time. And then a lot of them have taken it over again each year. So it's like a big one-room schoolhouse sort of thing.
That's great. What have you got planned next?
We're going to do some tunes. Richard's going to do them on the fife, but he has a story to present
Sure. I think anybody who's heard us knows that we often talk about the interchange and exchange of music between the fifers in this area and the fiddlers. And it's the fifing tradition goes back to colonial times. A lot of tunes were swapped back and forth. We're going to play a couple. There's one particular story about a fellow from Dunbar, Sam Waggle, who was an old Civil War veteran. I think he passed away before Byard came around, but people remembered him and would talk about him as a real legend. And he writes that notably there was a fiddler named Pete Province who frequented Waggle's gun shop in Dunbar and learned many of his tunes. Pete would beg him to play, and Waggle, highly flattered, would become excited and fussy. He'd drop his stone-bowled wooden-stem pipe, spit fine, and said, "All right now, boy, all right, now you just wait till I get my fife and my wooden leg." "Darn, where's my fife? Where's my leg? Sally, where's my leg? Darn it, Sally, where in the hell's my fife?" When fully equipped, he would go out in the main street of Dunbar and there march up and down, playing continually till he blowed himself clean out.
What a great thing. It makes you really wonder what's going to come next, and you're about to find out. Here's the Snappin' Bug String Band.
So this one comes from that fifer, Sam Waggle.
Snappin' Bug String Band. It's so much fun to listen to the way that kind of built up and sort of swelled up in sound as they went on. Dave Christie on guitar, also Barbara Rossner playing bass and Mark Tamsula and Richard Withers on fiddle and fife, respectively. The banjo is coming back into play. We're negotiating. We have about, I'd say about 8 minutes of radio time, if that helps. And Barbara, you can speak up.
Yeah, we'll do Opry Star next.
Opry Star. Oh, that's okay. We're planning. We're planning as we go. Sally Goodones. There's another variation.
Sally Goodones.
That'd be a good name for a band. Yeah. Dibs. I called Dibs. No, you can have it. Anybody listening can have it if they want it. What do you think you want to do next?
Tune called Opry Star, also known as the Oil City Quick Step, and it comes from a fiddler from Ligonier named Harry Queer, also known as Tink Queer. He was quite a well-known guy back in the, well, in his day. He was born around 1900.
So Opry Star predates the Grand Ole Opry, then, probably.
I don't know.
I mean, it predates the 40s, it sounds like, given when he was born. Well, let's take a listen to it. Opry Star.
Yeah, you hear it and you can tell us.
Nice to think about Oil City and this cat running around the Oil City, kind of calling attention to himself, most likely, as he played that song. I did try to look to find there. I could find no information about that song, not surprisingly. I didn't look real hard, but Google, such as it is, didn't seem to know what to do with. I gave it Tink Opry and fiddle, and it said, I don't know what you're talking about, basically. There's a rapper named Tink, apparently.
Yeah, that's the thing about the internet today. You know, whatever is the latest contemporary reference or popular reference just totally obliterates anything from the past, you know?
Yeah, maybe it means our minds are going to become more valuable again. In some ways, I hope so. I want to remind people again, look at the albums at snapandbug.com. They might make great gifts for people, or I just think we don't often think about CDs in our library these days. It's really good for this particular project to have, you know, documented evidence that this music existed. You can also learn about where the Snap and Bug String Band is performing at snapandbug.com. 4th of July, they will be at Forest Hills Community Day at 11 at Forest Hills Community Park. Yeah. On right Ardmore Boulevard.
We're directly across from the dunk tank.
Very nice. You could play music to go with the dunks as they go. And then they will be at our solar concert series Thursday, July 10th at 12:15 at Buell Community Park. What do you guys want to finish up with?
We're going to play this to the end then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Straight Fours from Samuel Losh.
And thank you. Our thanks to all of you
for
being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, did anybody want to say anything they didn't get a chance to say?
It's a real honor to play on the radio. And Larry, you and Ricky, you've done a lot over the years. So it's I'm humbled and very grateful for you and what you've done on the radio, giving this music a chance to be re-aired again. Like you said, some of these tunes have been forgotten, and you're helping to put them back on the air.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Thank you to all four of you. And here they are, the Snappin' Bug String Band.
I almost forgot.
I keep coming at you with an extra microphone here.
Okay. Gene Getz says hi.
Oh, hello back to Gene Getz.
And here
Gene
we go.
Getz whatever she wants.
Straight Fours.
Bug String Band, thank you. Wonderful to have you
with us. Thank you to all of our guests today. Shelley Lukes from the Allegheny County Music Festival. From Pittsburgh, Westinghouse Academy. Build.org. Quincy and Martha from the Gold Rush Zine Project. And again, the Snappin' Bug String Band. Cytrosky Books, our program technical director, is Chad Green. Technical associate, Ellis Dorham. Director of Programs at SLB is Deanna Beringer. Joseph Kukula is our Youth Media Center manager, whose programs are led by Megan Valley, Alexa Bosick, Grace Anderson, Alex Bennett, and Ben Rutkowski. Lila George and Monet West are interns currently at SLB, as are Blake and Moran. Robert Gray is our Director of Operations. Ricky Berger manages me. We will look forward to our interns currently at SLB, as are Blake and Moran. Robert Gray is our Director of Operations. Ricky Berger manages me. We will look forward to seeing you next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
RCT Pittsburgh and Tube City Online Radio in McKeesport.